You're listening to the Crowdfunding Nerds Podcast, a podcast that will help you succeed before, during, and after your crowdfunding event. And now, here is your host, Andrew Lowen.
Hey everybody, welcome to Crowdfunding Nerds. I am your host, Andrew Lowen, and I am joined as always by Rick and Sean, who get no special introduction this time because got to keep everybody on their toes.
Short and simple.
Don't interrupt me, subordinates. We constantly get questions about organic marketing. And really what I mean by that is just marketing that doesn't cost any money. You know, there are so many people that want to know how to do it right. So what this episode is going to be about, this is kind of the kickoff of how to market your Kickstarter organically. This is extremely important. Organic marketing is the difference between funding as high as you possibly can and funding in a very marginal way. If you rely entirely on paid promotion, you're not going to raise the money that you could have raised if you just put a little elbow grease in and spent your time marketing organically. There are a whole bunch of other reasons that you would want to market organically. Number one, you want to see if people want your product. If people don't want your product and you have spent all of this time marketing and, or I'm sorry, all of this time designing and paying for art and other things like that, and then you find out that people don't want what you have to offer, that's a problem. One that you're probably not going to overcome with by paying Facebook money or paying us money to fix it. You can't outpace, I don't even know how to say it. You can't
outrun a cheetah, like, I think what you're trying to say.
Great marketing doesn't solve a poor product. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. So anyway.
Another thing about organic marketing is that it can be done horribly, horribly wrong. So we want to sort of cover self-promotion and the do's and don'ts.
I can't wait to get into that. Yeah. I was complaining about not receiving a game called Unbroken, which was, you know, a bummer, the campaign and whatnot. I really wanted it. I lamented about it on our podcast and somebody actually sent me a copy. So it was pretty cool. So we're basically famous.
If you don't get your Kickstarter project, start a podcast, whine about it, and someone will send you their copy.
There you go. Yeah, it was actually pretty cool.
I don't know who supports us, but apparently we have fans, and we actually are getting emails from our fans now too. There was a question we got from Jesse Blount from Branson, Missouri. He actually greets us by saying, "Hello, nerds. Hello, fellow nerds." In his email, he says, "I'm looking for advice in how to have a successful Kickstarter with no money to invest in until Kickstarter kicks in. I really enjoyed your podcast and learned a lot. Thank you in advance for any advice you might have for me."
It's kind of weird, you know, it's like the cart before the horse or the chicken and the egg situation with Kickstarter now, where you can't have no money and go to Kickstarter is the common adage, the common advice. But the whole reason that you're going to Kickstarter is because you need money. The first major lesson is that there are absolutely best practices out there for your Kickstarter campaign. That, you know, you need review videos. The best practices, absolutely, you should have a review video of your game or, you know, whatever your product is, right? You should have images and, you know, an intro video, and you should do everything you can to spruce up that page to make it look great. You should have a killer prototype, all of those things. And ideally you should have, you know, $75,000 in marketing money that you should plan on blowing, and I don't know, other things like that. But there are people, and yes, I used hyperbole in that situation, but the truth is that there are people that can't afford even a, let's say, a $600 review video, but they have this dream, they have a game, they've invested as much as they can invest, and their bandwidth is limited, right, for investing more money. So what does a person like that do? Well, and I'm going to bring my mom into this because she gave me some sage advice. She's one of my first business mentors. My first business mentor was my mom. And I asked her one day about insurance. And, you know, I have a growing family. You know, I have five daughters and another child, unknown son or daughter on the way. And I asked my mom, "Hey, mom, should I get you know, disability insurance? Should I get, you know, I have life insurance, I have, you know, health insurance and whatever. And I'm thinking, should I get disability insurance just in case, you know, I'm incapacitated and whatnot. And I didn't have the money to do it, you know, to be honest. And my mom told me, look, Andrew, you need to pay for what you can and then pray for the rest. I just thought that was kind of a funny line. You know, it actually ended up being a very, very deep, I guess I'll put it this way. It applied to marketing in a way that I didn't fathom at the time. But all the time when we deal with these types of questions, somebody will say, hey, you know, I don't have the ideal situation. I, you know, need money. I can't afford to spend it on all the things that, you know, best practices would say I should spend. What do you do? It's like the answer is pay for what you can and pray for the rest, because that's the best you got. And what is the end result from being able to pay for all the things and going to Kickstarter? You could fund and you could not fund. Either of those situations are okay. If you need to go to Kickstarter without a killer budget, that's what Kickstarter exists to. I mean, it's a tool to use. Now, it's up to you as far as bringing a crowd and that sort of thing. But you can bring a crowd and you can get people excited about your product without paying money to a reviewer. You know, Rotto or the Dice Tower or Jesse with Quackalope doesn't need to review your product and rave about it for you to build hardcore fans. It's your job to make hardcore fans believe, or rather, it's your job to make people believe in your product so that they would become hardcore fans. That's really, I think, where the crux of this question lies. How do you make hardcore fans that believe in you, that want what you have, when you don't have a marketing budget to acquire them?
To be honest, everything has a cost to it. Two types of cost. It's either your time or your money. And usually it's a combination of the both in some degree. If you have a lot of money, you're going to use your money to leverage your time to have other people help you out and do things for you. For example, someone does your artwork on your board game. Pay someone to maybe review your game. You pay people to test it. And so things can get done quicker because you have this leverage to expand out and have other people help you through money. Now, if you don't have a lot of money, you're going to have to spend the time yourself to make up for that leverage. So in this case, we're looking at, if you want to market your own product on Kickstarter, I feel that you're going to have to spend a significant amount of time before Kickstarter to market your product. In fact, I'm thinking just this is just, you know, we can dig into this a little deeper in the podcast, but I'm thinking if you have a $0 budget and you need to build a community, I'm going to say it's going to take about a year to build that community up to a reasonable level that you can go on Kickstarter.
Yeah, and I guess that can be tempered with how active you are and what it is that you're doing to build. When a client comes to us and they say, okay, how long do I need with you to go to Kickstarter? And, you know, how long is my pre-launch? You have kind of a month zero where we need to just make sure that you have all the right assets in place. Some people have their own websites and other people need a landing page, you know, for their website, rather a website built, and, you know, you've got your month zero. And then your month one and two are your, you know, before your Kickstarter. So Kickstarter would be month three. So you've got your month one, your month two, and then your month three is Kickstarter. That's about the amount of time that we need to do paid ads and other things like that, and email marketing and other things to build hype and everything and spread awareness. But when you are building organically, 90 days is, or, you know, 60 to 90 days is not going to be enough. You do need a lot of time, because organic marketing is going to start like the proverbial snowball. You know, as you're pushing, you build a snowball in your hands and then you start pushing it down a hill, and it takes a long time to turn into something that will roll on its own, and then something that eventually becomes an avalanche of excitement and whatnot. So with organic marketing, it takes longer, because you might, you know, my personal goal for Deliverance, I did a lot of organic marketing for Deliverance before I put a penny into paid ads. And the truth is that I haven't actually really spent very much on paid ads with Deliverance. I don't actively spend on paid ads right now to get Deliverance out there or anything. It's all organic. I built over 1,000 emails and a Facebook group of to over 900 over the course of about 2 years, maybe it was a year and a half, you know, and it took a long time, but it definitely paid for itself, you know, many times over just in the investment that I made into that.
Maybe this is a good segue then to go into self-promotion then, because in order to do organic marketing, you're going to have to do it yourself. And there's a right way to do it, and there's a wrong way to do it. And I think all of us at some stage in our lives have done it the wrong way. So you can learn from our mistakes and think about how you can move forward with effective organic marketing. Andrew and Rick, what's the worst marketing advice you've ever received?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, if you remember that movie, The Field of Dreams with Kevin Costner, if you build it, they will come. That was the worst marketing advice I've ever received. So if you build a great website, if you build a great board game, if you build a great whatever, they will come. People will find it.
Who told you that?
I don't remember now. I think it was actually a business coach back when I started my business. I cold called a business coach that invited me to a networking group back in like 2010. And because I was just selling websites at the time, he was like, you know, if you brand yourself, if you make yourself a great product, you know, visually, you know, if you write blogs and other things like that, people will find you. And I was starving for such a long time. You know, it's like,
but that probably
you have
worked.
To market it.
That probably worked at one stage. Would you not think?
Absolutely. So whenever a piece of advice becomes commonplace, whenever you hear somebody who is uneducated and not always at the forefront of marketing, you know, if you hear Elon Musk tell you something about marketing or whatever, I mean, maybe listen to that guy. But if you hear Joe Schmo on Facebook just tell you that, oh, your game should have minis in it because it's going to sell more, or you should have a Facebook page or whatever, that common advice, if you hear that from, we'll say the common person, you are already behind the curve. It doesn't mean that that advice is not valid. It means that that alone is, I mean, it used to be that you would just write a, you know, blog post and then people would find them. I remember a long time ago, back before we even had a website, my wife did a kind of a fitness blog, just her personal fitness blog. And she ended up having, you know, thousands of people find it, people from all sorts of different countries as far away as like, you know, Israel and Brazil and whatever, you know, like thousands of people from these countries found her stuff. In addition, of course, to the US, she didn't monetize it or anything. It was just for fun. And, you know, I mean, if she tried to do that today, that was just on, I think it was blogger.com, like what, you know, Google's old school, like blog platform. Now the common advice is, you know, oh, you just have to make great content in SEO marketing. Oh, you just make great content and then links will come naturally and people will find you naturally and whatnot. And if you don't promote that content, the truth is that nobody's going to find it because everybody has a blog, everybody's posting, and there's this gigantic black hole of which is called the internet that is filled with trillions of blog posts. And you know, yours is not going to stand out unless you promote. Right. And so you cannot just build a landing page. You cannot just create a Facebook group, a Facebook page. You can't just create a good game. You have to promote those things. So that's really the key that I was missing. And promotion is hard. Like, how do you promote yourself? How do you market yourself? And I'm not talking necessarily about paid promotion, although, you know, you're going to pay in your time or your mental energy or something, you know, several currencies, not necessarily just money. So if you build it, they will come. The worst marketing advice I've ever received.
What about you, Rick?
The worst marketing advice that I ever received was, if it doesn't work, throw more money at it. And it's funny because, I mean, I can see how that might work in a case or two, but overall, it doesn't work that way. You know, for example, I know in an earlier podcast, we talked about Facebook ads. And yes, if you're going to do an ad on Facebook, it's going to cost money, but you need to be able to run that ad long enough and use enough money to get a good sample of what your investment return is on that ad. So, you know, in this example, you know, just throw more money at it. Let's say we got enough of that sample and the numbers don't look good. Oh, well, maybe it's because you just don't have enough money, you know, put more money, do more. Well, if it's a good enough sample and it's showing you that the numbers don't convert, guess what? it's just going to turn into a larger group of people where the samples don't work. Throwing money at something to make it go away or make it better is like throwing your money in a fire. It just sort of stokes it up and can make it worse. A lot of people make that mistake in gambling. Here in the U.S., you know, California, Southern California, gambling's big. We have lots of Native American tribes who have casinos here, and it's a big industry here. Big in Las Vegas. It's big throughout Nevada. And of course, some people will go online and find some kind of like technique or trick that tells them that they'll win the casinos over, which just want to let you guys know that is never going to happen. I used to be a casino manager. I managed a casino for a long time, and the casino always wins.
I mean, you saw people that were like negative 400,000 in their bank account, right?
Millions.
You saw all the social security numbers.
So let's say you have also, this old...
Real quick. This is really important. Not related to the casino, but you also work for the San Diego Zoo, and you saw a lion pounce on a duck.
And well, what's the fact?
Did you or did you not see that?
The lion pounced on the duck. It was the fact that, like, the poor duck decided to land in the lion exhibit. But yeah, there's things you are out of your control that you can't do.
Which relates to marketing.
Yes, relates to marketing in some weird way. I don't know how we went from throwing money at things to gambling to zoo. But anyway, I've had a very colorful work experience background, as you now know. So back to the casino example. So let's say you have like this trick on how to win at blackjack and you're like, it's a for sure win. I got it. Well, you put like $100 down and you lose. Oh, well, maybe it's just a bad luck. So let me put more money in it. And then you lose again. And maybe you win a little bit, but you lose. Well, then you get frustrated because you lost so much. So now you want to double or triple or quadruple the money you put down to make up for the loss. And then all of a sudden you put that down and you lose that. Now you're way deep in the hole. And that's what happens in marketing a lot. If you don't know what you're doing and you just throw money at something. Oh yeah, you know, this could work. It doesn't look like it's working now. I'm going to increase double, triple, quadruple my budget. If you have a good sample and it didn't turn out well, no matter how much money you threw at it, it's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And then all of a sudden you're down $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 in marketing with no results. And then
depending on the level you're playing at, you know, I used to be a semi-professional poker player, played a lot online. I would play at local casinos and that kind of thing. I had the understanding, you know, with poker, you're just playing against other players. And a huge element in poker is how much money you have behind your bet. So when you know, if you have $100 total and you put 50 of it out and somebody over across the table with, let's say, $1,000 on the table looks at your bet and they'll say, okay, I have to put $50 in to match him, but the most that I could ever lose from playing against this person is $100 total because that's all he has. Now, if you change the example of, I put $50 in, but now I have $100,000 behind me and that person has the same $1,000, they'll say this $50 doesn't just represent the amount that I could lose, but I could potentially lose everything I have because I'm playing against somebody that is probably prepared to lose $1,000 because they're going to try to make the right decision and all of that. And the money is not going to cloud their judgment at all. In the same way with a casino, if the odds were 50% exact even, and you bet the same amount of money every single time, and you would eventually still lose all your money because the casino has more of a bank than you have. You know, you've got your win streak, which is what everyone wants, and you're going to have a loss streak. If you're doing is flipping a coin at 50% odds, you're going to get a bunch of heads in a row. You're going to get a bunch of tails in a row. And if you get a bunch of tails in a row at the wrong time, it might bankrupt you. And then you have to stop flipping the coin because you've lost all of it.
The bottom line is that the casino always wins. Now, poker's funny, or not funny. It's more interesting because you're playing against other players. However, if you're playing poker at a casino, the casino still wins because they're taking
a
cut of the winnings. They take usually the small blind and the big blind, and that's their share for catering the table and the dealer to you plus whatever tips. So no matter what you play, the casino always wins.
This is really relevant to what it is that we're talking about because Facebook is the casino. Facebook is the one who has the bank that is larger than yours. And if you put money into ads, you can't outspend Facebook. So if you are spending, you know, $100, $200 a day, or even $10 or $20 a day, Facebook will find a way to take all that money from you and give you the results that it does give. And Facebook is neutral. It's not going to refund you. So if you make a bad move, you have spent that money and it's gone. So in a way, gambling and marketing can be very similar if you don't really know what you're doing. And actually related to what you're saying, Rick, where people go wrong when they decide not to hire somebody to do an expert job, but they decide to do it themselves, they go wrong when they don't have the expertise. A lot of the time I hear this rationale where, you know, let's say our minimum monthly fee to manage a Facebook ads campaign, to create, manage, all that, is $500. So if somebody spends $500 with us and then let's say, you know, $20 a day on Facebook, that's like $600 more. That's $1,100 that they spent total. Almost half of that went to us, right? So the natural thought is, well, I could just save $500 instead of paying a marketing expert. I could just put that into ads. I could apply that to my ads. And, you know, that actually sounds pretty awesome at first. You know, if you put $1,100 straight into your ads versus putting only $600 into ads, you're going to get better results in theory. However, a lot of the time people don't even know how to read the data that comes from the ads. They don't know when an ad is performing very well. So a lot of the time people make big mistakes by not capitalizing on what's working well, and they don't catch what's working poorly. And, you know, if they have a situation where something's working well here, or maybe something's working in an average manner there, they don't know how to make, or they don't know why the thing is working well, and they don't know why the other thing is working average. And that causes a lot of money to go straight down the tubes. I find that in many cases, throwing money at something is a terrible idea. Just hiring somebody to do an expert job in marketing, in paid promotion, is a good idea. It's a good investment. But I guess that's sort of self-serving.
Well, on the flip side of that coin, though, and I talked about, you know, how large and what a big organization Facebook is. What's great about the flip side is that if you find an ad and it gives you a good return on investment, we'll just use it money wise. I'll say, hey, you put a dollar in, you're getting $4 back. That's a phenomenal ROI for an ad. And with Facebook, since it is so large, if you got a good ad, the sky's the limit. It's so large, you can keep throwing money in your ad and Facebook will find those people. They'll find, you know, if you've set it up correctly and it's a converting ad, you know, the more money you put in, that ROI is coming back. So on the flip side of the same coin, if you have a very good ad with a good ROI, there's like, because Facebook is so humongous, there's like no limit. Like you can just keep throwing money in and, you know, shoveling it in, and it just keeps going and going and going until you run out of money to give it. And then you've got to stop getting your return on.
Yeah.
So let's say, okay, so here I am. Here's me, Mr. Rick. I'm real excited. I got my new game that I want to promote on Kickstarter. I have no money though, because, you know, I'm a poor working college student that, you know, mom and dad support me. And Yes, they want me to go to school, but I don't want to go to school. And I don't want to tell them that, but they're paying for my school. So I'm at school right now.
Well, so you're a millennial.
So I got my cool game I've been working on. Got no money. Where should I go? What's the first thing I should do?
Spam people. That's what you should do. This was actually the worst marketing advice I ever received, which was just spam people. Just swallow your pride and just, you know, it's going to upset some people, but it'll work out in the long haul. Private message everyone on your Facebook friends list and just like send them a link to the thing that you want them to do. Yeah, that was horrible advice. That's one way to destroy relationships really quickly. So do not do that. That's not clear.
Yo, bro, I don't know you, but can you cash at me $400? Thanks.
I just added you on Facebook. I think you would be interested in this. My Hello Kitty Kickstarter game. You look like a metalhead, but I think you would like this Hello Kitty Kickstarter game.
Well, deep down, all metalheads love Hello Kitty.
So my advice to those who are listening and aren't getting any advice from these other two, I would say the first step would be to create a Facebook group to promote your brand or product. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I definitely think that a Facebook group is such a critical tool to leverage. It's free, first of all, and it kind of banks your your effort. And this is a concept that I use all the time is, you know, you've got a bank, like a bank account, you put money there so that you can pay bills and whatever, right? Well, in the same way, you have a bank for your emails, which would probably be a MailChimp account or some other email marketing account. You have your Facebook group, which will bank other people who are interested in what it is that you are doing. And so the bank concept is really important. You can put a lot of, I mean, you can go to conventions and you can hand out flyers and I don't know, whatever, play test your game with a lot of people. But if you can't bank the results by gathering their email address or getting them into your Facebook group so that you can continue to communicate with them. You know, some people wonder, should I do a Facebook group for my company or for my game? You should absolutely do it for your game or the individual product. Or if you have a product, you know, like one prospective client that we're talking to right now has a cool sandal that kind of fixes hammer toe. It's a, you know, it's a different type of product, way different than a board game. And they're community group shouldn't necessarily be about like the coolest sandal. It should be about the problem that their product solves, you know, because that's what people want to talk about and want information on and whatnot. So in summary, yes, let's talk about, you know, for the more advanced marketer that might think what they're doing is fine. And when I say more advanced marketer, I mean somebody who understands the way of Facebook or the way of Reddit or whatever, that isn't just going to make like the dumbest mistake, like add somebody to their friends list and first thing they say is, hey, check out my Kickstarter. But what do you mean by spamming people? What are other ways that you can spam people that you might not realize is such obvious garbage spam?
Well, I suppose it's the difference between reach and acquisition. And we often deal with this with customers. They want us to reach or get a lot of emails. And we could do that. There's ways you can set up ads where you can get a lot more emails for a lot cheaper than what we get them. But we always dissuade our clients from doing that because we know that those people will not convert as well. So the acquisition cost actually goes up. You might be getting the lead, but you know the actual return on investment will be worse. And it's the same. You can spam people and you can reach a lot of people. And social media, unfortunately, is very good for this. You can get your message to a lot of people very quickly, very cheaply, which means it's a great place to spam. But what you'll probably just do is annoy a bunch of people. And if people do sign up, they might be signing up for the wrong reason. The key to your marketing is actually developing a community. It's developing a relationship. Because before someone buys from you or even listens to you, they have to first like you. So that's the key, is to do things that won't annoy people, which spam most certainly will. And it is to present the thing that you're offering, which could very well help them. It could be a very good thing that you're doing. Hey, this product is going to be really beneficial to you and your family. I'm just really passionate about it. And that, you know, you have to sometimes dial that down a bit because it can be misinterpreted. But you have to figure out how can you best communicate that without coming across as someone who just wants their money, because that's very unattractive. It's a very unattractive quality in anyone. Yep. So yeah, this whole kind of, you know, private messaging people without any sort of forewarning, hey, buy this from me, this is how it helps you, that's not a great way to start a conversation. And you wouldn't do that in real life. If you saw someone on the street, wouldn't be like, hey, buy this from me. You'd say, hi, my name is, this is my name, how are you doing? You'd have a conversation with them. And you'd be intentional because you're gonna try, you know, wiggle your product into that conversation, but you're gonna be human, I suppose.
On social media, especially Facebook, there are groups that, you know, congregate around interests and board games. You know, there are large board game groups, and when somebody shares about their Kickstarter and says, "Why is my Kickstarter not funding?" a lot of the response is often, "This is the first time I've heard of this campaign." And the common knowledge is that you need to talk about your campaign so that people know about it before you launch. You need to get so many touches in order to make a sale, kind of thing. So, you know, you need to make sure that you communicate in these board game groups. And that's all well and good. That's very true. But people tend to take it a step too far and start sharing their Kickstarter link in board game groups, or, you know, start conversations with the explicit intent of, you know, linking their Kickstarter page or their, you know, their pre-launch page. And some of that I don't get me wrong, like that's not all bad, but some of that is okay. You also need to like act like a human, you know? Mm. You can't just post every single thing and have it only be about your game. People are going to kind of figure that out and you're just going to get less engagement. So the idea is that you want to kind of build a presence. One of the ways that I find that I don't have to spam people, and this is kind of hard for me because there are so many board game groups. When I want to share something about Deliverance or even Crowdfunding Nerds, there are a lot of groups that I can share Crowdfunding Nerds into or Deliverance or whatever into, but I choose a few of them that I've actually built kind of a name where people maybe know who I am by my name because I interact with the group on a regular basis. You know, I might post something that I thought was funny or just, you know, reply in comments on other people's posts and engage, offer advice or whatever it is. And when I post something that is kind of more selling, let's say like last week's episode, or it was, I guess 2 weeks ago, we did an episode of The Mental Drain, like mental health and Kickstarter. When I post something like that, it's is meant to get more people to listen to our podcast. But I also find that it's very helpful. And because I've built a reputation, you know, it's helpful to those people that need to hear that information. And because I've built a reputation of where I can contribute to the communities that I share, it's not looked down upon. It's not frowned upon. The admins aren't like, ah, this guy is selling a thing or whatever. The admins know who I am. I engage with them on a regular basis and probably will host some of them on this podcast in the future. You know, I'm kind of playing by the rules in these various groups.
I think another unforeseen consequence of that kind of marketing is that even if you are commenting on someone else's post and, you know, they people can see, oh, this is someone who has a lot of engagement in this group, those people might be curious and go, well, who is this person? And then they go to your personal page. And then on your personal page, what do they see? Your board game. So there's that sort of like indirect way of marketing where you might actually get traffic to your Kickstarter page or to your website or whatever it is, simply by engaging people on your page. But if you're intentional about your personal page and, you know, what posts you have public, what posts you have pinned that people can see, you know, maybe you should put in your, you know, the description, you know, I'm a game designer for this company, so they can learn some more information about you. And they will want to because they will probably like you by that stage. This is a very likable person. They're very helpful in this group. I want to know a little bit about them. And at that point, that's almost better than actually posting a link in that group. So that's something to think about as well.
Yeah, yeah. There are a lot of ways that people can kind of dig into who it is that you are because you're interesting. I mean, just in a Facebook group, it's as simple as, you know, typing your name into the search bar and seeing what have you posted in that group. Sometimes I'll say that admins, various Facebook groups, will also post and look at what else you've been posting. And that will kind of help them determine if they decide your post is spam and needs to go. I can absolutely say with 100% certainty after talking to many of the admins on the large board game groups and other very large groups that they will look at your post history to see if you've engaged and if you're contributing or if you're just kind of trying to take from the group. You know, in a lot of ways, it's commonplace. You'll hear, you know, you should engage, you should try to be a part of a group and try to contribute and that sort of thing. I think that that's one of the hardest pieces of advice to receive from a, you know, for someone who has a Kickstarter with a deadline on it. The bottom line is you're not going to be able to do that for every single group that you come across. If it comes down to it and you, you know, it's either post or don't, you probably should post to just have something where another person might see and then back your Kickstarter and all that. But you really should have groups that you try to grow roots in. You know, there are several groups that I really put a lot of emphasis in and, you know, just contributing and whatnot. And I sell and I get people from those groups to join my email list and whatnot. And those people know who I am and what my project is. But there are other groups that are very similar. In fact, I would even say the purpose of these groups are kind of the same that I do not contribute in because you kind of have to pick and choose. Like you can't, it's the, sort of the jack of all trades scenario.
Yeah, and another thing is not all groups are created equal. You know, some admins are great and they allow you to do a bit of self-promotion and some frankly are horrible. they're hypocrites because they say you cannot self-promote, but they self-promote. And those groups mm-hmm. you want to stay clear from, because that's not an environment which will be fruitful for you. If you're having to constantly battle an admin, like some admins would delete your post without saying anything, which isn't helpful either, because how you're supposed to improve your post if they just delete it and don't tell you or they don't say anything. So trial and error, and you'll understand the culture of that group, and is this a good fit for you? Is this a good fit for your product and your brand? Not all groups are created equal, so it'd be better to be really involved in one group than to plaster your stuff everywhere and not get much engagement. So that would be my advice.
Yeah, you have to try. You're not going to hit the ground running and be perfect. I've never seen that happen before, where somebody all of a sudden just, you know, does everything right and is able to sell their stuff and never hits any bumps on the road, which is like an admin deleting your post or whatever. You're going to probably spam people on accident in your effort to get better at organic Facebook marketing, just posting in groups and whatnot. So in that respect, you know, maybe you should just swallow your pride and spam people. You know, just it's okay if one of your posts is spammy and gets deleted and you get kicked from a group. That happened to me before, where I was actually booted from the group and given feedback that my post was spammy. And I sent a message to that admin and said, hey, I apologize. I'm like working on this. I'm trying to be better. How can I do better? And they actually were kind enough to share how I could do better. I actually ended up going into that group and kind of becoming friends with that admin after that. And it's now one of the groups that it's kind of like one of my core groups that I post a lot in. So you're going to spam. It's going to feel like spam. Even if it's not spam, you're going to have trolls that call it spam. You're going to have people tell you this stuff is unwelcome in one way or another, as you have many others engaging and interacting with your posts. Just constantly moving target. And the encouragement that I would have for anyone listening is that organic marketing is something that you need to do. You cannot leave it until your Kickstarter is live or until you're, you know, 45 days out from your Kickstarter. You need to have places that people kind of know who you are, and you need to spend that time investing in those places and in those people. If you have people who know who you are and you post something, then you're much more likely to get engagement from those people on that post. Even if they don't really have anything to say, they'll still like the post because it's you, or maybe they'll comment because it's you. Maybe they'll take the extra time because they know who you are now. They know you by your name, at least on social media, and they're willing to engage with you because they kind of value you or what you have to say, or, you know, that kind of thing.
And always play by the rules. You know, always read the rules of a group. Not all groups are the same. Not all of them have the same culture or the same tolerance for self-promotion. Because really, at some degree, everyone on social media is self-promoting to some capacity. So the groups that say no self-promotion are in a fantasy. They don't understand what social media is. So you want to read the rules. Never post and say delete if not allowed, because that clearly demonstrates that you are not adding, like, you haven't done your homework. You shouldn't know what the group rules are. And it's not the admin's job to police the group and deleting violations. It's your job to play by the rules in that group. Things like that you should avoid. Delete if not allowed. Is there anything else you can think of, Andrew, that people should avoid in Facebook groups?
One of the biggest mistakes that people make is, even if they are adding value with a link in their main post, I discourage any links in your main, like the actual post that you make in the group. I encourage links in comments or replies to, you know, in that post. The reason for that is because Facebook recognizes that people don't like to be spammed. So any kind of link, unless it just, they'll send your post out to a very small sample size of people at first to see how they react to that link. If it's something extra sensational, people, you know, react. Facebook will then serve it to more people. And this is how
satire sites have grown.
Exactly. Or funny videos will get millions of views on Facebook and hundreds of thousands of shares. That does happen, right? You know, if it's a link to your landing page or if it's a link to your Kickstarter campaign, Facebook, I mean, it's just going to get buried immediately. It's not going to be served to many people, because links generally are self-promotion. They're or some version of promotion, even if it's not about yourself. People tend not to engage with links all that much.
Think of Facebook as a business. They want people on their platform as long as possible, viewing ads as much as possible, because Facebook actually charges per impression, unlike Google. So they have financial incentive to keep you on the platform for as long as possible. And if you're taking traffic off of their platform, they're going to penalize you for that. Now, they do allow you to take traffic off their platform, but they want you to do that through paid advertisement. So as we said, yeah, the casino always wins. Facebook is the casino. And if you want to take traffic off of Facebook, you're probably going to have to pay for it.
Or you'll get kneecapped.
You two chatty chats. You guys are like a couple of old people just going off at each other. Anyway, so here I am. No, here I am. No budget Rick. I took off my SEO wizard hat. I'm no budget Rick today. I got my prototype for my apocalyptic board game. I've created my Facebook page. I've started to post things on my page about what the game's about, and you know, maybe some images, artwork, and then of course I've been trying to interact with the people on my page, asking questions like, oh, what's your favorite post-apocalyptic game? What'd you like about it? What's the worst? What didn't you like about it? And then I join one or a couple more groups of similar that are similar to what I have and try to add value. I know we're talking about no money, but of course, you know, throughout this time, it's going to take quite a few months. Like I said, I think it's going to take a minimum of a year just to establish a group and get it going to go to Kickstarter. But you're going to get some money. You're either going to get like a refund check from your taxes. You have that maybe another stimulus check coming in, a birthday check from your grandma. You know, she sends you like $2. Mm-hmm. When you post something that you really like and you think it's a good value about your product or game, there's always a button that says boost post, and it costs like $5. And I've used it with this other organization, nonprofit organization, to help build the group. And it has worked really well. So I know we're talking about no money, but if you do have a little bit of money, I do recommend boosting your posts that you think are the best value or the best representation of what you offer on your page. And that'll help you grow your audience. Okay. So I got that. I know you guys briefly mentioned email and you mentioned MailChimp, but MailChimp is free for 2,000 contacts. So if you're just starting out, you have no budget, you got this free resource where you can actually communicate. I can't remember how many emails you could send per month. There is a limit to that too, for free.
10,000.
10,000. There you go. So you can send, if you had a full max list of 2,000 people, you can send out 5 emails a month, which is like, you know, more than once a week, to your subscribers to let them know what's going on with your project. That's what's really cool, is you're able to communicate to your fans for free. And then as you grow, you can grow your plan with MailChimp and go from there. How else can we integrate MailChimp into our advertising campaign?
A huge one is landing pages. That's probably the dominant way to integrate MailChimp. When you send somebody to a website, you absolutely need to have a way to capture that person's contact information. Whatever landing page you want to get people to sign up, if it's about your game, you need to have your email sign up is the conversion that you want, unless your game is for sale on your website, in which case you want a sale.
To be honest, it doesn't cost much to have a website. A domain will cost you between $12 and $20 a year, and the website itself could be as low as a couple bucks a month, depending on the web host. And there are some crummy ones out there and some good ones out there. So you'll have to do a little bit of due diligence. You know, sometimes you get what you pay for. But if you are super, super serious about having no money at all, there are a couple things you can do. MailChimp that has its own landing page for signups, but of course it's very generic and you can only do so much with it. The other option is actually a very large company that offers, and I don't think a lot of people know about this. Google offers a site builder for free. And if you go to sites, S-I-T-E-S, sites.google.com, you're there. And you could build, and it's got a couple, it doesn't have, you know, it's not a full featured web page builder, but it's got all the like the main components. And you could sit there and drag the components you want on your page, and you customize it, stylize it for what you want. Because the idea of having a landing page and an email collection for a landing page or a website is to get that email. So just having MailChimp alone may not do it, like the Google sites. You can actually create a funnel page to capture that email, you know, show off the features of the game, show off why it's so exciting, and then capture that email. So if you have no money whatsoever, I do recommend Google Sites. Now, like I said, since you have no money, you're going to have to use, the domain is not going to be very catchy or, you know, easy. It's going to be sites.google.com/, I think it's page/, and then whatever you call it. So it is a little bit long of a URL, but of course, you know, if you get some money, buy a domain and link it to it, or, you know, get a full host. But definitely make sure you get that page to not only capture the email, but to, like, to get people excited, you know, give them something to look forward to. And of course that can be shared in all your emails and any of your future promotions and marketing.
You know, WordPress, for how awesome everyone talks about, it's common advice that you got to get a WordPress website. We build in WordPress because we're developers, but you are likely not a developer and WordPress might be too complicated for you, honestly. There are builders that you can use to kind of simplify your life with WordPress. A couple of good ones are the Elementor Builder, the Breezy Builder, the Divi Builder, you know, which come with various themes. But I would actually throw out another recommendation for people, something that works very well for people that do not have understanding of how to code or really develop, you know, they don't have like a development type of brain or maybe experience. Wix. Wix is something that a lot of people will use. Wix wants you to use their kind of their email marketing system. It's not terrible. It's just not as awesome and robust as MailChimp. But that would be another recommendation I have. A third one would be Weebly. You can get your own domain name via Wix or Weebly. You can even use builders like the GoDaddy site builder, but every single one of these programs, they all start out as free, but they will figure out ways to charge. All of a sudden you're paying $10 a month now, or $20 or $30 a month. These are all valid, and honestly, eventually you're going to see the merit in spending, you know, $10 to $30 a month on something. But I just figured I'd offer a few alternatives. We've worked with many clients that have built their own landing pages on Wix or Weebly and, or, you know, of course, WordPress. But if you're so inclined, then awesome, you know, build it in WordPress. But yeah, if you need something on a budget, there are a lot of free options that we just mentioned.
Yeah, one to check out as well that I find quite useful. It's actually developed for bands, but that's more marketing. It's just a great platform. It's called Bandzoogle. They got a pretty good price to value conversion there. So that's one you might want to check out too.
So what? How do you spell it?
So it's BANDZOOGLE, Bandzoogle.
Oh, okay. Band.
I don't want to skip over that you said Zed. That is Queen's English right there. That's where I'm from. Yeah. Zed is a League of Legends character. He's actually one of my favorite solo mids.
All right. So Jesse, to sum up your question, I'm going to try to condense this all into a nice little paragraph here. So if you haven't done so already, create a Facebook page and get involved with those people on your Facebook page. Find one or more Facebook groups that are in a similar niche or industry that you're in and add value to those. Create or build a mailing list through, if you have no money, start with MailChimp. And then also create and build a landing page to tell more about your product or service, as well as to get people to get on that mailing list and then use that mailing list. So there you go, Jesse. Those are the tips. And that is all the time we have for this week's episode of Crowdfunding Nerds. Thank you all for listening in. And of course, thank you to my fellow nerds, Andrew and Sean, for having this great podcast. I hope to see you all next week. For more information about this episode and the rest of our Crowdfunding Nerds podcast episodes, please visit us at crowdfundingnerds.com. If you have a question like Jesse had, feel free to visit crowdfundingnerds.com/question and fill out that little form. And maybe you might be featured on our next podcast. But for now, have a great week. See you next week. Adios, nerds.
Do it. Be famous.
Love that sound.